And while they bring that, thanks, bro. We're going to go all the way over here. And while they bring that board to the front, we're going to take up the offering. That's great. Thanks, bro. That should do the trick. We're just going to trust God that that board stays on the frame, because the board I used last week is locked away and I can't get in there. So bring it around this way. Yeah, so you're going in there. Good one, good one. And then we're going to take up the offering. Thanks, Teresa. Thank you. Bless you as you give. Bless your finances. You heard the testimony that came through tonight. Thanks, Teresa. Where is the bag? There's two. Thanks, Graham. Awesome testimony, bro. More of that. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. And then I'm going to try and get another little piece of plastic on over here as we go. You know how it is, same as last week. Just thanks, man. See how we go. How cool are these little plastics? They're so cool. I love them. Janet found them. Janet has a gift. She does. To find the most incredible deals. So if ever you like, hey, you know what? I'm looking for a car or a bike or something. Ask Janet. She'll hook you up. Okay, so we're going to continue with... Yeah, you don't need Google. She is your Google. So we're going to continue from last week where we spoke about embracing your uniqueness as a spiritual person, okay? And what's that? Thanks, bro. Thank you. So what are we going to call it on the sermons this week? Are we going to just call it part two, eh? All right. And we had a look at Adam and Eve all the way through, and I'm going to need to bring this board over here, all the way through, and I'm going to hide, okay? Because I need to go get my pens. All the way through to you, right? And you is on the other board. So I'm just setting up. You know how it is. Same as last week. We just flow. Who was not here last week? Okay, wow. Half of you. It's quite amazing. Because last week was full. So it's a good thing not everyone came to hear the second part, eh? Otherwise we'd, well. So I need water. Let me just tell you a testimony before I get into the sermon. I just have to share it. I just have to share it. But this morning, I was preaching at a church in Toti called Sweetwater's Full Gospel Church. And I preached the first service from 7:30 to 9:00. And in the second service, after worship, a guy dies in the announcements. I kid you not. So... yeah, pretty crazy. You're the guest speaker, and you've just preached on healing, and you've just preached on the power of God, and now a guy dies in your service. It was hectic. I'm going to get to it now, but I'm just setting up. I really want to tell this story. I really want to tell the testimony. Okay, so we had that one last week. I'm getting there. Oh no, it's gone. Okay. It's okay. So. This guy, literally, we believe died. I told my mom the story, and she believes he was dead. He just collapsed in his chair after worship, and his friends just started screaming, "Help, help, help! We need a doctor, we need a doctor!" And you can imagine the senior pastor doing notices, and he's like, "We just need to sort out that situation over there. If there's anyone can help with a doctor, please won't you go and help?" So I'm looking, I turn around, I'm sitting in the front, I turn around, I see, and he didn't look good. I could see he was white, he was just limp in his chair, and I thought, uh-oh. So I saw the other pastor go down, I thought, I better go across, I'm the pastor who believes in healing, so I better go pray for this guy. So off I go, and I go pray for this guy. Now you can imagine the senior pastor, what does a senior pastor do? Does he go down, now he's got 350 people in his church all looking to him, and what does he do? So he really did the right thing. He was explaining his dilemma to me a little bit after the service, and he really led it well. He said, okay, guys, we need to pray. We need to pray together. We need to pray in tongues, declare life over him. He got the worship team back up, and I went there, and I laid hands on his head, and we just started praying. And I promise you, I just thought, this is not looking good. He was limp. He was in his chair, and and we had to get him on the floor, and his body was completely limp. White. You could feel no life in his blood, in his body, in his skin. And one of the guys, who I think knew first aid, couldn't feel a pulse. He was saying, I can't get a pulse. I can't get a pulse. I can't get a pulse. So I'm just thinking, this does not look good. And he genuinely looked like he was gone. And so it was hectic. It was really hectic. And I was like, Jesus, you have to come through now. You just have to. And we're just praying and praying. And his son, who's a little bit older than me, his son is holding him. And he's just saying, come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. Don't go, Dad. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. They turn him onto his back. They undo his shirt. They start doing CPR on him. And I just keep praying. I just keep praying. Eventually, someone whispers, well, they declare into his ear. They say, your time is not up yet. Your time is not up. You still have a destiny. You still have the life of God over your life. Still no pulse. And this person is just saying, your time is not up. You still have purpose. You still have a destiny. And at that moment, his eyes opened. And all of a sudden, the life came back into him. You could feel it. I was holding his head, and I could feel in his temples, the warmth started coming back. And they turned him onto his side, and and it was a process. It wasn't like immediate, but slowly but surely, a minute or two, he was able to talk. They said, hey, Johan, are you there? Are you there? He's like, yeah, I'm feeling bilious. They get a door in. They put him on, because they don't have a stretcher, so they've got a door. They rolled him onto this door, and they took him out, and he was fine. Unbelievable. I've never experienced anything like it. But get this. During this all this commotion, on the other side of the church, another elderly woman collapses. The pastor, he tells me afterwards, he just don't have James come preach at your church. So the pastor was telling me afterwards, he was like, he couldn't believe it. He just was like, I'm not having someone die in my church. I will not have someone die in this building. It will not happen. So he's like, he sees this woman collapse. I didn't see it at the time. He sees this woman collapse. He just goes up to her and says, you will not die in Jesus' name. And he walks away. Genuine true story. And she wakes up. It was unbelievable. But I have never experienced anything like that. I have experienced hopelessness. I've experienced hopelessness before in people with a brain tumor. I've prayed for dead bodies in a morgue before, but you know, you're in the morgue and you know they're dead. If they come to life, it's like stoked. Everyone expects them to stay dead. So if they come to life, great. But if not, no, I'm just being real. But if they come to life, great. But you know what? They're in a morgue. This, I've never experienced hopelessness. Like, Jesus, you have to come through right now in my life. I've never experienced that. I was like, this is ridiculous. And we went to go visit him in hospital afterwards. He was fine. He was talking to us, absolutely fine. The doctors wanted to take him in for tests. They didn't know actually what it could have been. They think it might have been an aneurysm. I explained the situation to my mom and what I could feel on his body and how he looked. My mom was convinced it was a major heart attack. So I just, and you know what is amazing? The best part is you can't point to one person that was there that caused the resurrection. You can only say Jesus resurrected that guy. It was amazing. So Jesus is powerful, and he is still alive, and he still operates. It was amazing. So, wow, that was just incredible this morning. And yeah, no one died in the service. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, hey, guys, keep your eyes open during this preach, okay? So otherwise I'd be like, are you alive, bro? It was incredible. All right, so we're going to continue with last week. Ashley, do you have that picture? For those that are sitting on that side, sorry. Who can see it through the stuff? Donna can see a little bit. Okay, So you guys saw it last week, and you would have noticed that I didn't bring it up again, because I decided to follow on with it this week. So, who sees an old woman there? Who sees a young woman? Who sees a young woman? Wow. There we go. Thank you. Thanks, Ash. So if you can't see it, just pretend like you can. Just Google. It's really easy. Google woman optical illusion. It's really easy. I did that just now. Every time I've prepared for the sermon, I've just Googled it again instead of getting the picture. It's so much easier. Yes, Trevor? If you see both, yeah, it means you're really, really intelligent and you have an IQ above the normal human being. There you go. But the reason why, and a lot of people, a lot of psychologists use that example because it's the same picture. But some people, when they look at it, immediately see a young woman with her head turned that way. And some people, when they look at it, immediately see an old woman with her chin in like this. And it's the same picture. And yet, people see two totally different things in one picture. You see, our brains have been wired through the way God created us, through the DNA we inherit from our parents, through how we were raised, the communities we were raised in, the circumstances, the environments that we were raised in, and our brains are wired to perceive the world in a certain way. And we're all looking at the same thing every single day. We're all looking at the same TV, the same Facebook, the same stuff. We're all looking at the same thing, hearing the same thing, and every single one of us interprets it in a different way. And that's what this is all about. Your spirituality and your spiritual experience with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus in the spirit realm, is unique to anybody else. Because God is so creative and so beautiful, He has gloriously designed you to experience the world in a certain way that other people actually need. They need the way you were designed. We need each other. Remember, we read 1 Corinthians 12 last week, how we are one body, but many members that make up that one body. And we each need each other to operate. You follow? So, we come back. Oh, did someone rip all my pages off here? Or was it on this page here? I think. Did it get ripped off? Oh, nice one. Oh, man, that's a bit of a bummer. Okay. Well, I'm not going to rewrite them. And this is falling off. Sorry about this, guys. Okay, so we'll forget about that. But remember how we had all the different gifts, the Strength Finders gifts up here, and how we had the different patterns? We had Terry and Chris, two completely different patterns. And now, if I had to do that with every single one of you, there would be a different pattern for every person in this room. That's the uniqueness that we have. And then we looked at every single person in the Bible. And my page is gone, but it's fine. But we went from Adam and Eve all the way through to you, and how every single one of these people were created differently and uniquely. The way that they experience God, the way that they walked with God, is completely different to the person after them, then the next person, the next generation, and the way you experience God is even different to every single one of these people. And so we so easily like to box ourselves, and we're like, you know what? If that's how Abraham experienced God, then I need to experience God like that. If that's how my favorite teacher experiences God, then I need to experience God like that. No, God created you in a specific way, and your experience is perfect. So I want you to turn to Isaiah 29 and verse 10. Isaiah 29, I want to show you something. Very interesting prophecy that Isaiah gives. Okay. So, Isaiah 29:10. Let's read it. The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep. He has sealed your eyes. And who are the... Who has their eyes? Who has the eyes? The prophets. That's right. He has sealed your eyes. In brackets. The prophets. He has sealed the prophets. He has covered your heads. The seers. Now, I find that very interesting. Because what Isaiah is saying to the nation of Israel, he's saying, your eyes into the spirit realm have been sealed. So it's almost like the nation of Israel relied on certain people to see into the spirit realm. And he called them prophets. So the prophets were sealed up from experiencing anything else, from seeing God, from experiencing, from hearing from God, right? And then he says, your heads have been covered. The seers. I find that interesting. So seers see into the spirit realm, and in the same way, our head is pretty much where the brain is, which operates every other part of our body. Could it be that when you're able to discern in the spirit realm what God is doing, you're able to direct the rest of the church? Interesting, eh? But now turn to Micah. If you know where Micah is. Fortunately, I'm on an iPad, so I don't have to battle. But Micah chapter 3, this continues. Micah 3, verse 6 and 7. Micah is quite close to Malachi. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 books before Malachi. And then Micah. Micah 3, 6 to 7. All right. Therefore, night will come over you without visions, and darkness without divination. Okay, I'm going to put those in there. Visions, divination, and the day will go dark for them. The sun will set for the prophets. So we've got prophets over here again. Okay? The seers will be ashamed. Oh, we've got seers over here. And then we've got diviners again. And the diviners, disgraced, they will all cover their faces because there is no answer from God. So Micah brings up two more. He brings up people that are seeing visions, and he brings up divination. Divination, often we would interpret that as witchcraft, and you know, this guy's a diviner. He operates in divination, like a witch or whatever. You know that God actually creates people with a very unique ability to operate in the spirit realm. And those kind of people, they don't get saved. They go out into the world and they start operating in divination. But actually, God created them for a purpose. God created them to bring heaven to earth, to operate in the kingdom of heaven and the realm of the kingdom. Right? So here we have, from these two verses, what was happening was Isaiah and Micah were prophesying of what we call the silent years. From Malachi through to when John the Baptist arrived, it was about 400 years, where there was silence. There were no prophets, nothing was going on. It was dead quiet, prophets were dead, there was nothing happening, and then John the Baptist comes. And Isaiah and Micah are doing is they're prophesying this silence. But see what he does. He says, your prophets, your seers, those who have visions, and the diviners are going to go silent. They're not going to be able to hear anything. They're not going to be able to experience anything. Now, what I find interesting in those two verses is how he describes, and they're all different words in the original Hebrew, how he describes different functions and he gives people different roles. Right? So, we so quickly say, oh, that person's a prophet, and we put him into the box of prophet. Even last week, remember how we took the three different categories of leader, of power, and upliftment. Remember that? For those that weren't here last week, we had all these people, the main characters in the Bible. That's Solomon, by the way. And it continued, but we couldn't find that, unfortunately. But we took all the main characters in the Bible, and then we categorized their gifting into power, leadership, and upliftment. Upliftment being either spiritual upliftment, in that they would encourage your spirits, they would raise you up, they'd make you feel good, they'd make you feel like encouraged and you can carry on, or physical upliftment. Like they were just servers. They would get on with the job. They'd help you. They are always there. They are helping you get the job done. They, hey, do you need this? Do you need that? You know, I would say no, but I didn't put upliftment for him. But he was a builder. He just got on with the job. He built the ark, and you get the picture. So we took all the gifts and we categorized them into three categories: power, leadership, and upliftment. And even with that, we went through all the characters in the Bible and we placed them into different gifts, right? So we said Adam and Eve, they flowed in a leadership gift and a power gift. Noah was a leader. Abraham and Sarah, leadership and upliftment. Joseph, definitely leadership. We went through all of these. But even then, we narrow it down to three, and it's so easy to then just put things into one box. But how many of you know that each and every one of these guys were uniquely different? You know, it's not like just because Ruth was an uplifter and Hannah was an uplifter, they were the same. Ruth and Hannah were completely different, and they were completely unique. And see, the thing is, we have to learn to embrace our differences and the differences of each other. Even if you recognize someone else as a prophet, they might be a different prophet to you, a different type of prophet. You're a prophet, and they're a prophet. They don't have to act like you. They don't have to talk like you. They don't have to like the same stuff that you like. They could be different to you, and they might rub you up the wrong way. Guess what? Jesus prayed for you, and he said, may they all come to complete unity. So, I just got 5 points. This is what I didn't get to last week. So, I tried to do a quick recap there. But I got 5 points for you. Firstly, we must learn to embrace our differences. We must learn to embrace our differences. Turn to John 17, please. And the differences of each other. Turn to John 17. Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he's actually praying for us as well. And this is what he says. Verse 23, I in them, and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. How many of you find yourselves listening to a teacher type person, and maybe you're not a teacher, and as you're listening to this type of person, you're actually going, I don't like this guy. This guy just, he rubs me up the wrong way. You guys ever had that kind of experience? Hey, everyone has experienced that kind of thing. Jesus said, Lord, may they be brought into complete unity to let the world that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus loves that guy as much as he loves you. And Jesus wants you to embrace his gift and his design as much as Jesus embraces your gift and your design. Secondly, so the second thing is, and this is what Dave has spoken about, there is no dichotomy, if you can see that at the back, there is no dichotomy between spiritual and physical. No dichotomy is there is no division. There's no division between the spiritual and the physical. There's just different perspective. That's what Dave spoke about last week, right? Now we know that in Scripture we have the eternal realm and we have the physical realm. But the fact is, Jesus brought the two together when He included you in what He did at the cross. Romans 6, the glorious baptism into His death, His resurrection, and even His ascension. You have been included in that, and that's what Janet was prophesying tonight. We have God in us. What the heck? That's crazy. Now that means we get to view the world completely differently. So that means the things that one person thinks are spiritual, and we're talking believers here, Christian believers who are seated in heavenly places, one Christian thinks that's spiritual, another Christian doesn't. What we've got to remember is there is no division. If that person perceives that to be spiritual, then great. Good for him, because that's the way God designed him. That's the way God designed her. Amen? And you may sit there going, they're just on their own mission. Well, that's okay. Let them be on their own mission. You carry on your own mission. How is God speaking to you right now? How is God speaking to you in your situation? How does He speak to you? Then why don't you tune in to the way He normally speaks to you? Oh, God never speaks to me. Have you found out how He speaks to you? Because He created you a JVC FM tuner, and He created Kareen a Sony CD player, MP3. But there is a key. There is a third key. Get in touch with your spirit. The reason why I've made that the third point coming out of the second point there, because if we say, oh, there's no dichotomy between spirit and physical, everyone's just perceiving the world differently, right? Then it can become very easy for the people who are a little bit more naturally inclined, this world inclined, for those people to just be so focused on the earthly realm that they actually lose touch with the fact that there is a spirit realm and there is a heaven where Jesus is seated. And Jesus said in John 4, one of my favorite passages, John 4, the woman at the well, Jesus says to this woman, He says, a time is coming where the true worshipers will worship God. God is spirit. God is spirit. Now that's a key. Think about it. Because God is everywhere. We know that, right? He is omnipresent. He is everywhere, in everything. That in itself is a mind-blowing thought. But God is everywhere. But God is spirit. That's an incredible thought right there. He's everywhere and He's spirit. So in this earthly physical realm, God is here right now. Right now, we may not see the effects of that, and that's our job, because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's our job to manifest that spirit realm on earth, where people can see the effects of it. But He says God is spirit, and He goes on to say, God is spirit, and His worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I love how the Message Bible puts that. It says, His worshipers will worship Him in spirit in their pursuit of truth. Isn't that a beautiful translation? Because we often go, well, you see, the spirit part is, la, 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 Jesus, I love you, worship. And the truth part is reading a Bible every day and praying and doing a good job as a Christian. And, like, how do you define, what is Jesus talking about when He says, truth. I just love the way Eugene Peterson translated that. The true worshipers will worship Him in spirit in their pursuit of truth. If you, and I, that witnessed with me. I don't know about you, but that witnesses with me. Because if you want to get in touch, what is the truth? Who is the truth? What is real? What is right? Pursue Jesus. Pursue Jesus. Pursue your King who is seated in heavenly places. The more you pursue Him, you will find truth. Because He is the truth. Now turn to Hebrews 11. Your favorite. Because you've got all those witnesses on either side of you cheering you on. Rahab is one of those, eh? That's an interesting story, old Rahab, eh? The prostitute that gets included into the great list of witnesses. How does that work, God? He is amazing. His grace is enough. So Hebrews 11 verse 9, we're talking about Abraham, and it says, in fact, let's read verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. How many of you feel like, God has spoken to me, I just don't know what it's going to look like? God has given me a clear picture, He has spoken to me, I just know I have to do this, I just don't know how it's going to work itself out. So what happened to Abraham? You're in good company, my friend.
Oh, you know, everyone that's a Christian is so spiritual, and I'm not very spiritual.
Well, do you feel this passion inside of you to do something and you don't know how it's going to work out? You're right up there, my friend, with people like Abraham. Same person, same experience. He didn't know where he was going, but God told him to go. By faith, he made his home, key word there, home. He made his home. And I'm going to explain why that's key. He made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. My third point, in fact, my fourth point, is the goal is to build heaven on earth. Now, how do I get that out of Hebrews 11? The goal is to build heaven on earth. Well, here's the thing. Firstly, Abraham made his home in a foreign land, yet he was still looking forward to a city that was yet to come. There's two things at play. He made his home in the foreign land, and not only was it just a foreign land, God calls it the promised land. He makes his home in the promised land. This is real good land. And yet, on top of that, he was looking forward to a city whose builder and architect was God. Now here's the thing with Christians. We've become so focused on one day when I die, so focused on one day I'm going to be in heaven, that we've forgotten about our home. Peter says that we are aliens in a foreign land, but so was Abraham. He was also an alien in a foreign land, but the Bible calls it his home. Friends, let's not get so caught up in being in a foreign land and aliens that the earth is not my home, the earth is not my home, that we forget that we need to make it home. We need to make it home and look forward to the city of heaven which is being built. Revelation 21, when the city of heaven comes down out of heaven, and then we will see the consummation of the ages. That is a glorious day that we can look forward to. Amen? But we have a purpose right now. And that is to build heaven on earth. You know it. Matthew 6:10, when Jesus prayed, Father, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that look like? Well, for every person it's different. For every single one of these different characters, for every single gift, it's different. For Hannah, It was just raising Samuel. That's all it was. She was remembered for the lady that brought up Samuel the prophet, who anointed Saul and David. That's the great guy that Samuel was. And all she did was raise him. She contributed towards heaven on earth, because in the whole pan of history, there is a great city being built. There is a great plan unfolding, which wouldn't have been able to unfold had Hannah not given Samuel over to the Lord, because then who would have anointed Saul and David? Eli was probably looking for a replacement. I'm getting old now, I'm a belly, I can't hear God anymore. Who's going to replace me? Hello, I've got a baby and I just feel the Lord wants me to dedicate him to his service. Wow. And Samuel becomes one of the greatest prophets of Israeli history. We are building something more than just our own lives. We are building something for the future. We are building and establishing God's glorious plan. That's what we're, and we're looking forward to that day. And while we're doing it, we're making this earth our home. We're making this foreign land. It's foreign. It's not right. All the sickness, the corruption, the bad things, the sin, the crime, all these things. It's not right. But I'm going to make it my home, and I'm going to build heaven on earth as much as possible, because I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus finalizes his plan. Amen. But finally, in all of this, the goal, I've just said the goal. There's two goals. The goal in it all is unity. You cannot fulfill all of God's purposes for your life unless you are united with his people. You can fulfill some part. Don't get me wrong. You can do great things and mighty things for God, but I tell you what, if you're in unity with your brothers and sisters, what you can accomplish is so much greater. 1 Corinthians 12:31, Paul says, he goes through all the gifts and he says that we're all members of one body, and then he wraps it up in verse 31. He says, but now let me show you the most excellent way. The most excellent way. If I do all these things but have not love, I'm a clanging cymbal. I'm a resounding gong. You see, why unity? Well, God wants people loved. God wants people to feel included. How many of you know when you walk into a room, like let's say you've been invited to a work function or a friend's birthday party, and you go to this function and everyone's standing in a circle talking and you don't know any of them from a bar of soap, and you walk in and you're just feeling spare. Let me just go to the coffee table and just stand, like make myself coffee and hopefully someone will come over here and talk to me. Right? We've all felt that. God doesn't like it when we feel that way. You know that. That's why Jesus prayed for us. Father, may they be brought to complete unity. God doesn't like people feeling left out, feeling isolated. So he wants you and I to love them unconditionally and to include them into our family, into our journey, despite our differences. The reason why I've gone through this whole thing is to show you how different we really are, but the goal is unity. We are so different, and it's actually not easy. It's not easy to be united with someone so different to you, completely opposite to you. It can be difficult sometimes. But I tell you what, when we do, we can accomplish greatness. See, God wants the world changed so people can experience love, unconditional love. So people can experience family. Everyone needs a family. And if those that don't have a mother or a father have nothing, guess what? The church should be their family. You and I are their family. We can provide family for the broken world. The kingdom of heaven is one that includes. It doesn't exclude. It includes. It says, hey, you over there, you're different to us, but you know what? You're welcome. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, when we get this thing, that we're all different, we can celebrate. We can celebrate our uniqueness. We can celebrate our differences and be like, oh my gosh, you are an amazing artist. You're an amazing teacher. You're an amazing whatever. You're an amazing prophet. You're an amazing DJ. You're an amazing sound guy. Remember last week, how the glory came? Remember that? The Holy Spirit rocked up? Amazing. And remember how I explained to you how in those moments, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening. The power people are going, oh, Lord, more, psh. And the leader people are standing there going, okay, now, how am I going to bring this out of worship and into the sermon? And how am I going to, is that person okay? And how am I going to facilitate this? And is this song right? And then the upliftment people are just going, oh my gosh, this person's about to fall. Catch them. Help them. Oh my gosh, they need water. Are they okay? Are they okay? They need water. And they just worry. And it's too hot in here right now. Somebody open the windows. And they're just worried about the physical environment and hoping everyone's okay. You got all these different gifts flowing in one moment. Right? But when we all embrace each other's gifts, and the power people don't go, oh, bro, don't worry about him. If he falls over, an angel will protect him. Or the upliftment person doesn't go, hey, come out the glory, bro. We need to just put clothes over these people. We need to put... just come out of heaven there for a second. And the leadership people don't go, which is something that I've always got to be aware of. The leadership people don't go, okay, I think now's a good time to pray. Now's a good time to release that word. You know what? We all just need to celebrate where everyone's at and embrace it. And let's move forward together on this journey of pursuing the kingdom of God. You know? It's a culture. It's a culture of honor. You're right. It's a culture of honor. Come out the glory there, Michelle. Just, I'm joking. Just go. Let's stand. Father, your painting is amazing. We have seen videos before of people who are working on this amazing painting and this amazing drawing, and then we watch a time lapse and we watch the camera zoom out and we see this amazing, amazing picture. Father, we are going to be amazed at the end of the ages when we look back at what you painted with our lives, with our gifts, with our talents, with our passions, with our desires. Lord, I pray that we would each embrace each other. Not only embrace our own gifts and our own spiritual design. Lord, I pray that we would embrace each other. We would embrace those that are different to us. That we would just let go and let you. Let go and let you flow through each other. That we can accomplish the greatest feat of all, which is peace, righteousness, and joy in your spirit among us all. That we can all feel loved. That we can all feel included. That we can all feel part of the family.